morning, sun-bronzed space cadets. My name is DJ Bongo Boy, and I shall be your musical guide for the next 2 hours until 10 o'clock this evening. And joining me here at the control desk, as always, it's our bringer of tall tales, MC Zirconium.
Good evening.
The main musical feature of this evening and the next couple of shows, actually, is going to be an extensive interview with Dana Countryman, one of our...
Dana!
One of our heroes of contemporary analogue synthesis.
He's going to be speaking, though, isn't
he? He's going to be speaking.
So it's not entirely musical.
Well, speaking, yes, there's an interview with Dana, which I did before I took off last week.
Is it auto-tuned, like that stuff they do on the internet?
Oh, if only I thought of that. We should have done that.
Yeah, for next week.
We could have got him doing a Mariah Carey song or something.
Whoa, careful.
Yeah, so we have an interview with Dana to celebrate his debut album, which has taken 8 years to make.
He's been busy with the Jean-Jacques, patron saint of the show.
He's had a Frenchman after him. Yeah, that's right.
Definitely.
Jean-Jacques. But he's finally got his debut solo album out, so we'll be featuring tracks from that and an interview with him.
Okay, well, I'm delighted to say that once again we have a chance to speak to one of our heroes of analog synthesizer technology, that being Dana Countryman. Hi, Dana.
Wow, that's quite an introduction, Robbie. Thank you.
On the release, really, of your, I guess, what is your debut solo album?
Yeah, this is my first synthesizer album that I've done solo. I did the two with Jean-Jacques Perret right before this, and you were nice enough to help us promote both of those. And that was about 2 years ago that we put out Destination Space. So I really wanted to take 2009 and early 2010 to finish my own project, which I did start quite a few years ago. So this is kind of a finishing up project for me. Some of the things go way back. Some of the things are quite recent.
Well, I noticed in the liner notes that you say that you actually first started on the project 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was about that time. I was still doing my magazine, Cool and Strange Music Magazine at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember that I bought the basis for my big modular synthesizer. It was a lot smaller then. During that time, I was really itching to get back into music. And so when I finally sold the magazine, I kind of steamed ahead on the solo project. However, I had a couple large delays along the way when Jean-Jacques invited me to do a CD with him. So I pretty much stopped everything on my solo project and just worked on those two CDs, which were very, very intensive and very, very enjoyable also. Very proud of the work that I was able to do with Jean-Jacques, who's my personal hero of electronic music.
Well, I guess maybe we should go right back to rewind, I guess, back to the beginning, and maybe you should tell us a little about your kind of early musical interests and how you got into the world of analogs, the synthesizers, in the first place.
Well, first of all, my dad is a musician as well. He plays guitar and piano by ear, and I grew up with him playing his electric guitar and also playing piano, so I think that was a big influence on me. I also play by ear. I did study a little tiny bit when I was a student, but I didn't really pick it up that well, and so I do play mostly by ear. But as far as the electronic music stuff, when I was in high school back in the 70s, it wasn't too long after the synthesizer came out. You know, Switched on Bach was, what, early 1969? So that was a huge influence on me, as were all the other electronic, you know, Moog synthesizer albums of the day, Jean-Jacques Perret being the premier one for me personally. Because it, you know, the thing I loved about his music was it was wacky sounds and very unusual synthesizer sounds and noises that no one had ever heard before. In addition to that, really great melodies and a sense of humor. So those were the three things that really attracted me to electronic music. I used to daydream about owning a Moog synthesizer.
Don't we all?
Back in those days, they were very, very expensive. And I remember it was something like $10,000 for a huge modular Moog. I remember my teenage sister taunting me and saying, you know, Dana, you're never going to get a Moog synthesizer. Well, along the way, I was not able to do it in one fell swoop, but I could buy a module here and a module there, and my wife would ask me what I wanted for Father's Day or for my birthday, and I'd go, another module. But eventually I got Dream Machine, and it's sitting right behind me here in my studio where I'm talking from.
It's not just the modular synth. You've got all sorts of other weird and wonderful instruments. Like, I believe you have an ondioline, for example.
Yeah, I'm sitting right next to that here in my studio as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's other guys that have a lot more stuff than I have. In fact, over the last year, I've kind of pared it down and gotten rid of quite a few things because I want to be able to create music and not be overwhelmed by too many instruments. So I've got to kind of pare down to the prime ones that work for me, and that's the ondulene and the big modular synth.
Well, we should maybe talk a bit more about the use of some of these instruments on the album. The very first track on the album actually features the ondulene. Is that right? Lovesick Martian Boy.
Yeah, that was the very first song I recorded with the ondulene, as a matter of fact.
Right.
One of the things about the ondulene that's amazing is, well, first of all, it's a tube or a valve instrument, I guess you'd say, and it uses no transistors and no integrated circuits. It was all well before that time. I think it was invented in 1947 or something like that, way back. And it has a lot of switches on it, these little filters, and by flipping these filters in a certain way, you can get that kind of net, net, net sound, which kind of sounds sort of like a human voice in a way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I always listened to Jean-Jacques' records, and I just wondered, how in the world did he get that sound? So once I actually owned an ondulene, I finally go, okay, now I understand.
Yeah.
It's a very unique type of sound that instrument is capable of making.
Meow.
And the splendid humoristic sounds there of Dana Countryman.
Classic stuff.
Classic. Instant classic.
Instant classic.
That's right. That was the first track on his new album, Moogtastic, which I believe is now out digitally and on CD. And we'll be returning to that interview later on the show and playing a couple more tracks from the album. And it's a great piece of work, great piece of work. And actually, Dana's running a little competition of his own, which we'll come to in the second part of the interview. So he's got an unreleased track you can get hold of if you happen to know the answer to a question he has. But we'll come back to that later on.
I have to say, he's got a very restful voice.
Yes, yeah.
You should really think about doing one of those relaxation tapes.
Well, Laura Huxley style, you mean?
No, not Laura Huxley style. The exact opposite.
Okay. You're suggesting she's not soothing and relaxing?
Yes.
Right you are, sir. Right you are. But yes, we're going to return now to our Dana Countryman interview, the second part of that interview. And this is part of the interview which relates to two tracks on the album, both of which have connections to the Beatles in one way or another. The first track is a track that Dana wrote when he was a teenager, inspired by lots of the Beatles gimmicks. And then we'll go from that into an actual cover of a Beatles tune, because as Dana will talk about in the interview, if you're any Moog album worth its salt always has at least one Beatles cover on it. That's the
it's
way
true.
That's the way it works.
It's natural law.
The album then moves into a brace of Beatles-related tunes, because we have A Tune of Your Own, which was actually, I guess, a tribute to that whole Merseybeat sound, with a great title, Have Mersey on My Moog.
That's right. That's right. In fact, I showed that title to one of my friends, and he said, didn't you spell Mersey wrong? No, actually, it's Mersey, but since you don't know that period of music, never mind. But anyway, I tried to throw the whole kitchen sink in on that tune in terms of the whole Mersey beat style. Yeah. I got the double hand clap thing, kind of deal. And that whole Ringo Starr type of drum rhythm and the harmonica solo. But I love the early Beatles, and I wanted to do something in that style. As a matter of fact, that was one of the first songs I ever wrote. I was still a teenager, and I wrote that tune way back then. But then it kind of sets up the next tune, which you kind of alluded to already, which is Day Tripper.
Yeah, and again, a fantastic cover version of that tune. And you make the point in the liner notes, which I like, which is that a lot of these early Moog records, they all had the obligatory Beatles cover on them.
Yes, it seems like a lot of those albums did have one or two Beatles songs. And so when I thought of doing this kind of a retro electronic music project, I thought, well, I gotta do a Beatles tune. So I'm a huge Beatles fan, and yeah. I picked that one. And my friend Joe Lacey, who was the cover artist on our two CDs with Jean-Jacques, came to visit for a week, and I said, well, you gotta play tambourine, and so I gave him this tambourine, and he plays percussion and also cowbell on that song. And also Morgan Fisher plays on that tune.
That's amazing. I saw that on the liner notes. It's great to have him in there. And he's got his own amazing collection of very antiquated electronic gear.
I think he actually owns two Andelines, if I remember correctly. He's got a lot of antique electronic instruments, and he's a really nice guy. He came to visit me in my studio before he had an Andeline to see what my Andeline was like, because he heard I had one. And I asked him, would you play on my album? And just for those who don't know, he was the keyboard player for Mott the Hoople back in the 70s. Yeah. And now he lives in Tokyo, Japan, and he does a lot of music for commercials and industrial type of things, in addition to doing his own experimental live electronic performances.
Yeah, it's amazing. And he plays the solo on the Day Tripper track.
Yeah, he plays on an instrument called a banjo harmonium, which I never even heard of or seen before. It has kind of a unique sound, and it sounds kind of Eastern Indian in a way to me. So that's the other thing on that Day Tripper tune. I purposely, and just for fun, stuck a lot of other Beatles songs in there, kind of interwoven with counter melodies and contrapuntal Beatle tunes. As a matter of fact, I have this little contest going. If people can email me and tell me how many actual Beatle references there are in that song, I'm going to send them a free tune by email that's never been released, just for fun.
Take 9.
One, two, three.
He doesn't hold back, does he?
As we often like to say, and perhaps this is slightly tricky territory on this occasion, better than the original.
I'll go with that.
Magnificent stuff there. The sound of Dana Countryman and a modular Moog synthesizer.
You know, sometimes you hear when people say they've been, you know, it's been taking them years to make an album, you think, what have you been doing? You can kind of hear it, can't you, then? You can hear it's taken a while.
Yeah.
You didn't knock that up in an afternoon. No,
there's a lot going on there, a lot going on, including several references to other Beatles tunes, which you might have heard in the last part of that song. And if you can correctly identify the number of references, and if you...
100!
100. I don't know, it could be 100. It could be 1,000. If you email a number to dana@danacountryman.com, we've just tweeted that if you need to visualise it, he'll send. If you get the correct number, he'll send you an unreleased track. There we are, isn't that very kind of him? And we'll be having more from Dana on next week's show. We'll be playing more tracks from the album, because they're all splendid, splendid pieces of work.